This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Sand Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at GarciaForHouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
All right, Houston, here we are. This is Gilbert Garcia with another episode of A Tip from Gilbert, Talk, Inspiration, and Prayer. I'm with my sidekick, Ruby Dang. Ruby, welcome to the show again.
Hey, Gilbert. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. And let me first begin by saying, you know, everyone knows I'm running for mayor, which has been a very, very fun experience for me. But yet there's always a little intrigue here and there, Ruby.
Right.
And one of the things that's the new intrigue is, I mean, I learned about retail politics years ago, which is working with the people. It was reinforced by Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, under the Reagan administration. He, of course, was a Democrat, Tip O'Neill. And he always said that all politics is local. And then, of course, Steve Raddick, who was the county commissioner, and he was a Republican, taught me about the importance of signs when we were having a referendum on Metro in 2012. So I'm a big sign person. So I have signs. If you seen my sign, give me a hoorah.
Hoorah.
There you go. Well, I have signs everywhere. And of course, you know what, Ruby? People got nothing better to do but to go cut up signs.
Yep.
I mean, it's like they got nothing better to do but to cut up signs.
The sign war.
It's a sign war. Now, I can tell you right now, my team has not torn down anybody's sign.
Right.
I can tell you that right. Because I tell them all, don't you dare tear down anybody's signs, because what difference does it make? Let people see people's signs. Well, of course, in talking to other candidates, MJ Khan is telling me his signs are all getting torn up. Sheila Jackson Lee's signs are getting all torn up. Terrible. My signs are getting torn. Even Robin Williams is getting signs torn up. So let's see who's left there tearing up all these signs. So all I ask is all the candidates and Senator Whitmire, please tell your people not to tear down signs, because you know what? It just doesn't matter. And if they're not tearing them down, well, then I'll be the first one to apologize, although we know they are. But I'll be the first one to apologize, because at the end of the day, all candidates, please, let's not tear down signs. We should be above that.
Yes.
In fact, I want to say a prayer about that, because in a moment you're going to hear about a candidate for council, and I don't really know her, but I see her around at forums, and she seems to be sincere, all those things. And she was almost accosted, if that's the right word. I mean, got to look at that definition, accosted. But someone who disagreed with one of her positions got into her face and was calling her names.
Names. One of her opponents?
Not an opponent. A person, I don't have all the detail, which she's going to share with us, a person who supports an issue that's counter to what she believes in, and he just got in her face and called her all these ugly names after one of these forums.
How terrible.
I know. And so I guess I want to just start with a prayer that says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I mean, can't we just work together? Mm. And I want to do another one. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What I'm trying to say is there are things bigger than one issue. I mean, one issue. I mean, if you're going to be a one issue person, well, my view is, you know, you should really focus on with a candidate, how many things do you have in common rather than be a singular focused issue person? And in addition to that, even if you disagree, there's a way to disagree respectfully. And you have to recognize candidates who are running are putting themselves on the line. I mean, I'm putting myself on the line out there, not just my resources of my family and I that have worked all these years, but really our family, our reputation, my firm, and it's been a cost already. Right. And so people who run are sacrificing. And so I hope everybody remembers that before they start getting mean and nasty with any particular candidate. And again, if you're part of my team, don't tear down any signs of anybody, period. I don't want to have any of that. That's not why we want to win or how we want to win. Do I have a caller already? Oh, we have a caller already. Perea?
Well, you stirred up some action.
I did, right? Well, I think, Perea, is that you? Did I lose you?
Hello, one moment.
Perea, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Rats. Round two. But you know what they say, three times a charm.
That's what they say.
I don't know who says it, but somebody says it.
Someone says it.
Maybe it was a fortune cookie.
We're going to hope it falls through today.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly right. Three times the charm. Well, I guess it's not working. But as we get going, you might recall at our last show, I talked a lot about, what are these things called again? These
the floating.
I mean, it's like, remember in Avatar, there's the floating mountains of Hallelujah. Yeah. You remember that? Hallelujah, floating mountains that are in the sky. Well, we have in Houston, the floating concrete bus stops.
Yep.
So we have the floating concrete bus stops. That's the key word, we had. And I'm going to show a picture, hopefully my producer, who's frantically trying to figure out why these phone calls aren't coming through, because we're getting phone calls off the hook here. But apparently they have these concrete bus stops floating.
Yep.
And when I thought of a concrete bus stop, well, something's ringing in my ear now, producer, so that's not how it goes. But is that Pariah, is that you? Hello? Okay, don't patch anything through here till we're ready. So the floating concrete bus stops, and if we could put a picture of that up there on the screen there, producer, the picture of the floating concrete that I emailed you. It's like just a big cement block. I mean, it's not like attractive or anything. Right. And it's not, I don't even know what they mean by floating, because it looked like it weighs, you know, 10,000 pounds.
It's just kind of out there.
It's just kind of out there. So they have these whole concrete barriers, which to me, number one, I wonder how much those cost.
Right.
And people that I know or who are trying to figure it out there at 11th Street can't get a straight answer from the city or anybody. So city, please tell us how much those floating concrete bus stops cost, because I think the citizens have a right to know. And I think the council members, Abby, came in. Abby, if you know, please give us a hand there. What do those floating concrete bus stops cost? Because are you ready for this? So we're on the show talking about them.
I remember.
It just happened like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And lo and behold, they've now removed them. So they went.
What was that cost?
Well,
too,
at least we know, but I bet you it was more than this. So it cost $150,000 to remove them. So here we are. They now discovered, and they said that after an on-site evaluation, that they have determined that it's not safe. I mean, what is happening? So these zones, I'm reading for the Chronicle, will now be reverted back to their original configuration with lanes restriped and pickup zones painted red for buses pulling to the side for passengers on the sidewalk. Well, all I know is there's another example of why I'm running for mayor, which is just complete incompetence. And I don't know who's making these decisions. And I'm not, you know, some folks in the bike community are trying to paint me out as anti-bike, which is false.
Right.
It's just false. I just want to look at how are these decisions being made? That's all I'm asking. And remember, there was a forum about transit and transit modes, and there was a whole lot of bike people. And, you know, I love that they're passionate about the issue. And a lot of them, again, came up to me afterwards. They weren't terribly, you know, they weren't out of line, though. Don't get me wrong. But they just came up to me. And I said, it's real simple. I said, you know, what are the priorities? I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yep.
What are the priorities? Because if you look at Metro, if you want to just assume that these bike lanes and everything fall under the domain of Metro, mm-hmm. if you do, well, first of all, there's about 9,500 bus stops. Mm-hmm. Half of them are not even ADA compliant.
That's terrible.
That's right. So here we have a federal law on ADA, right? Americans with Disability Act, and half of them are not accessible to our citizens that need wheelchair access.
Right.
So
right.
here we have, you know, half of them, they can't even use them, period. And then on top of that, of the 9,500 stops, I believe it's 9,500, approximately 2,500 or about a third are sheltered. Right. So that means two thirds are not even sheltered.
Right.
That's so that right. means citizens are out there standing by a pole and they're there in 105, I think it was 109 one time,
yeah.
105, 109 degree heat. You think anyone's going to wait all day long for a bus? Or you think no. they're just going to stay home and say, you know what? I'm not going anywhere today.
Right.
Well, that's what's going on. And so I just said to him, I said, listen, we got to shelter these buses. We've got to do ADA compliance. And yes, there's all kinds of needs. But there are finite resources, whether it's Metro or the city. The city, you know, on the one hand, and I love these bike lanes, they're beautiful. But then on the other hand, when you drive in certain parts of the city, Ruby, they have open ditches.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's full of debris in
yes.
there. So the
yep.
water builds up and they don't even, the water's on the street because, you know, there are the haves and there's somehow the have-nots here. And that's just not right. And you have, of course, in some areas of town where stray dogs are everywhere mm-hmm. and they don't want their kids to go out inside and play. Because they're afraid they're going to get bit by a stray dog.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you know, there are finite resources and you've got to make the tough calls. And the number one call right now is public safety, yeah. in my opinion. And again, I'm just one person.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I am. So I represent one voice and I am a voter, but that's just one vote. So number one is public safety. People don't feel safe anymore. One of my daughter's friends had her car stolen out of the Galleria.
Yeah.
Isn't
yeah,
the Galleria okay. supposed to be the premier shopping zone? And there are cameras everywhere. And so they went to security and said, well, yep, we have cameras everywhere and we can see they stole your car. What else do you want to talk about?
That was terrible.
That was terrible.
That's the neighborhood I live in. And yeah, I mean, that is the number one concern. It's no matter where in Houston you live, you don't feel safe. And
yep.
That's a shame.
So that's the number one issue. Number two is, and again, not necessarily in all this order, but I'm giving them close to the order, is we've been fighting with our firefighters for 7 years.
Mm, yes, we have.
Now, I'm so glad the senator sort of discovered the firefighters. But, you know, I've been talking on my radio show for several years. I've been talking about it out in public that it makes no sense that we're on both sides of the of the cost, because firefighters we pay. And then, of course, if we're suing them, we're paying the lawyer. So we're on both sides. We're wasting money. Meanwhile, the clock is ticking. We're getting deeper in a hole. And I had Marty Langton, the head of the union here.
Yep,
and he just said, remember Marty? Marty's been here twice. Yep. Marty's a great guy. And he may be ornery, but the thing about Marty is he's the union head. You got to work with him.
That's right.
Come on. And his heart's in the right place, which is public safety for Houston. And so at the end of the day, we were there just saying, Mayor, would you please meet with Marty mm-hmm. Langton? He won't meet with him.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's terrible.
I mean, being the mayor, you've got to put personal opinions aside and work to a solution.
Work for solutions. So I've been calling for arbitration, and I'm still calling for arbitration. I'm grateful that the senator put that bill into law, because now it talks about arbitration. I'm glad.
Me too.
Because at the end of the day, we need to solve it. We need to move on down the road. We need to know what it's going to cost. And we need to just move on down the road.
Right.
Then other things, of course, people are concerned that their trash is not picked up. Their water, they don't understand why the other day they had to boil their water.
Yeah.
I don't understand it either. And so there are so many things. And I'm going to talk about the housing department in a moment, because that's one that I think just needs a complete redo.
Yep.
And I'm going to talk about as I'm going through my pages here, because I'm going to find it. But let's first get in a caller.
Let's see.
I got to take a breath there. But I got a lot more to say, Houston, so please stay with us. So let's go to Prayer. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Prayer, first, let me just tell you, if what I hear is true, I'm hugging you on the phone right now. And number two, I know you're running for council, right? You're running for city council?
Yes, District C.
And let me just say, I don't really know you that well, but I see you here and there. You've been nothing but kind to me, and you've been nothing but, you know, want to talk about the issues that you care about, like all candidates. And so I admire you for jumping in the race because, you know, it's a civic duty to try to get involved in the community. And as my mom always said, if you don't like what's going on, don't complain.
Right.
Because if you're not going to vote, well, and you're not going to do anything about it, well, don't complain. And so at the end of the day, you see things and you want to make a difference. So I saw you at the forum, which was Saturday, the Link forum, which was great. The Chronicle covered it. The audience was so engaged, which was wonderful. I think the Chronicle said there were 150 people. Ruby, I think there were 200 people. You couldn't even move in there. And it was all about transportation. There was lots of metro, lots of sort of air quality, lots of bike lane issues, all about different modes of transit. And they had two different sessions, like five or six of us did session one, mayoral candidates. And then like, you know, four or five did session two. They did it. It was very professional. They had Gail from the NPR, you know, one of the reporters, and now she's one of the anchors as the, moderator.
Right.
She did a fantastic job. But tell us what happened to you and share that with us and our listeners. And I said a prayer for humanity to work better together before you came online. So prayer, you got the microphone now, and you're talking to five stations of Houston.
Okay, well, thank you for having me and allowing me to say what the incident was. It really took me back to experience that, but it was a very much a hostile environment. And I am a cyclist myself. I ride. I've always ride the bayous and things like that. And my whole thing is knowing how this issue about bike lanes has pitted the residents against the cyclists. So I, you know, wanted to make solutions. And so what I was asking the crowd after the forum, we were outside and it was a pack of individuals. They were gearing up to go and ride together. And I was like, hey, you know, just friendly conversation, banter. And I was like, did y'all hear any solutions and things like that? And you know, people gave their opinion, and I say, well, check me out. I'm running for city council, District C. And I asked how many are in my district before I started passing out stuff. And a lot of them was, oh, maybe I'm not in your district. One or two were saying they were in my district. I said, but did you hear solutions? I said, because the next mayor, we need to convince them to have solutions to our issues. And it's not about being against anything. It's real solutions that I've proposed and I have on my website, in my newsletter. And so I said, and more than anything, if you don't stay in Houston, many of them were coming from Channelview, other areas that I heard outside of the district, not in Houston. And I said, but it's about convincing our next mayor and about these solutions. So I started in the crowd was like, yeah, it's about solutions and convincing. And they was like, give me a card, give me, you know, everybody wanted my stuff. And so little, as I'm having a good time engaging with the crowd, someone comes behind me and grabs me on my shoulder really roughly, you know, and turn me around.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
So I was like, okay. Then they said, are you Paretta Bradley? And I was like, yeah, I am Paretta Bradley. And he was like, this guy started yelling really loud and hostile. Don't listen to her. Don't listen to her. And started trying to prevent me from passing out the rest of my literature and information. And he started saying that I'm homophobic. I'm against the bike lanes on 11th Street. I'm working with the opponents of 11th Street bike lane and all this other propaganda. And it was really, I almost passed out because I could not believe somebody would say that and make me have to defend myself against somebody that is bigger than me, a male. And he just was really rough towards me and really aggressive. And nobody did anything, you know.
Wow.
And I just felt like it was a very embarrassing situation for me being a candidate saying that, you know, why would I come to a cyclist of a multimodal event about transportation and bikes, if I'm so against transportation and bikes and stuff. And I felt so attacked by this individual. And when I found out about it, I found out that he is the president of a super neighborhood.
Come on. He's a president of a super neighborhood and he's behaving like that?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
And my thing is this, it's intimidating. It makes you feel as if people are not taking democracy serious because you have these individuals who have these titles that can speak to many other individuals and can prevent you from speaking to the constituents that you are trying to serve and provide solutions to.
I mean, he probably doesn't even know you. Right? I mean, have you ever met this person before?
I've never met him.
So here he is calling you names. Number one, you shouldn't call names. And number two, he doesn't even know anything about you.
I don't know where they came from. I've tried to be allies with the LGBTQ community and tried to voice and be a bridge. I am not of the community, but I have tried to understand and start the engagement of, you know, bridging the gaps between our community. I just do not know where this behavior came from, but it gave me a sense of no protection. I feel like I have to have people with me
when
I'm
goodness.
Campaigning because I did not feel safe at that moment. It was very hostile. I have nothing against, you know, people speaking for their rights and their concerns and what they believe is, you know, whatever, right? But if something as simple as bike lanes, look how attacked I felt. And I'm someone that was bringing solutions. There's nothing in my platform that said that I'm against the bike lanes. There's nothing in my platform that says that I'm not willing to be an ally of the LGBT community. And so his name is Kevin Strickland, and he's a Super Neighborhood 15 president of the Greater Heights. And I just feel like when I think about this, I don't know who he's connected to, but I understand he has a position with the city, with the Department of Neighborhoods or whatever, you know, just as a representative. But you think this is the bullying behavior. This is the intimidation that many candidates are scared to speak up against, and I'm not going to take it. And I don't think the citizens of Houston need to sit back and allow this. If we're not going to allow hate speech and hate against other individuals because of their gender identity or race or things like that, the same should apply for candidates.
Well, part of me wants to say, come on, Kevin, what's up with that? I mean, Kevin, come on. And does your super neighbor group know you behave like that? You can't physically assault people. You cannot push people around and call them mean, nasty names. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, and Brea, you shouldn't even have to defend your positions because whatever they are, they're yours. And you have a right to have a position. And people have a right to disagree with you. But they don't have a right to be physical and nasty and aggressive and mean and bully you.
No, and I just feel like, how can I come around and engage with Super Neighborhood 15 and the Greater Heights? I've never had that opportunity, but it kind of makes me feel like now I see why, because if you've had this notion of me and saying that I'm all this and that, I don't even know where that came from. It's like, who's saying that? And it's, you know, you should stop. He should stop saying that. And that's unfair because I can't go around and criticize him in that way. That's inappropriate.
Well, I really think you deserve an apology. Kevin, I invite you to call on the show. 832-570-8075. If you feel your behavior was in line, well, you can defend it. If you feel it was out of line, well, this is a great place to apologize and we can move on down the road, because at the end of the day, we all want the same thing, which is a great Houston and a better Houston and a great life for all of us. And so let's be Houston. I don't know. Let's be gentle with each other. Yes. Let's be thoughtful with each other. And let's
be better neighbors.
Let's be better neighbors. Well, I hope that you stand tall, and I hope that whatever your positions are, you that this doesn't influence them, because you have a right to your view, period. And I see you on the campaign trail, and you're nothing but thoughtful to me. So I offer to you to call in anytime and talk about how the campaign's going. And if you have any more issues, you know, I mean, bullying type scenarios, I hope you call in so we can bring it to attention. You know, that's what, you know, transparency sometimes is what's needed to bring attention to, you know, bad behavior.
Yes, and I thank you, Gilbert, and I commend you for running as well and addressing and spotlighting this. And I definitely will be calling to talk about the campaign and other issues. And I encourage other candidates who have confided in me to speak up.
Speak up
on your experiences so that we can have a clean, positive experience as we're going through this campaign.
Well, you are a class act. I thank you for calling in, and I do hope you call in again.
Thank you so much, and love you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Love you, Houston.
Love you, Houston. Well,
bye.
Bye-bye now. What a class act, right, Ruby?
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, because she could have been bitter. She could have said, that's so-and-so, and that
da-da-da. Right.
Instead, she was very thoughtful, and you could almost feel a little bit of hurt in her voice, like, you know, here, I'm just trying to get involved to help the city I love.
Right, and the only way to do that is
pulls me and grabs me and turns me around and calls me names and all this kind of stuff. Holy cow.
Oh, I know, that's terrible. I mean, all she was trying to do is to get some feedback to see, am I in the right direction?
Yep.
You know, and that's what it's about, right? Is bringing folks to the table. I mean, you and I both know that, you know, bringing folks with different backgrounds always brings better solutions.
That's
and transparency
right.
is key. You know, we may not agree, but we should be respectful and listen to solutions.
Well, I'm sure I lost Super Neighborhood 15's vote, but Super Neighborhood 15, I hope y'all have a discussion amongst yourselves about proper behavior, especially if your leader's out there, because, you know, that person represents you.
Right.
And is that really how you want to behave? Is that how you want your neighborhood to be known as? So, you know, I hope y'all, you know, view it. If that's someone at my firm, either A, if they were bullying people, we'd either send them to sensitivity training or we'd fire them.
Right.
Because you can't behave that way. Let's go to the next issue here. And so what do we have? We have another caller there, Ms. Producer. We do. Daniel Box. Oh, I've been waiting for this one. Daniel Box, are you there? Hold on.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Remember Daniel Box? Daniel Box, are you there? Daniel. Hold on. We got to wait for Daniel Box. Daniel, you there? Hold on. Daniel Box.
While we're waiting for Mr. Box.
Remember Mr. Box, he was the one from the Hope Union. They kicked him out of the union just because he was asking questions.
Yep. Yes.
And he just wanted transparency. And then he was trying to run for office, and then they were like tried to have an election without telling anybody and all
that's
that.
Terrible.
Yeah, let's find I want to know where the saga is on this whole thing. So let's see if Daniel Box is there, because he's got a lot to say. Hope, of course, is the AFSCME, SEIU sort of combo for all the city workers that are not the police and not the firefighters.
Right,
Daniel, are you there?
Yes, sir.
I was trying to remind – Daniel, you know, I've been waiting for you all this morning, man, and I mean it. And thank you for your patience, because I think you called earlier and you were hearing me talk about a council member, her experience with Super Neighborhood 15 leader. I just want to touch base with you, because tell us what's happened. So last we heard, you know, there was a lot of sort of not enough transparency around the Hope Union elections for officers. They kind of unfairly kicked you out of the union somehow, or trying to prevent you from voting. You're trying to you're trying to run for president to sort of rock the boat. And y'all were going to have some other meetings to set the election. Tell us where we are.
All right. So on the 19th. It was an incredibly sad day for the labor movement, because we had a lot of people that showed up, and people won positions by acclamation because there was nobody running against them. And that really has to do with them not getting the word out to people to let them know. So the union's been going out and having job site meetings throughout the city. But they never mentioned to any of the city workers, hey, on the 19th, there's going to be nominations. On the 26th, there's going to be elections. So you know, they have a calendar, they have a website. They haven't placed any information on the website or their calendar. So on the 19th, we had some members that showed up and they were very upset because there's also a voter suppression going on. There's only five places that you can go vote if you're a city worker, and they're all in public works and engineering facilities, which means that if you're in downtown at 611 Walker, over at City Hall, the municipal offices, you're going to have to get in your car and you have to go drive to go cast a vote. And people brought this up to the union's attention. And they were basically just said, nope, it's already in stone. We're not going to change anything. We're not going to create any more locations. In the 15 years that HOPE has been in existence, there has always been a balloting location at 611 Walker. This will be the first time that we have never had a balloting location at 611 Walker.
Are people saying, hey, how come I can't vote here at 611 Walker anymore? I mean, people got to be saying, hey, you know, I used to always vote at this, you know, public center here, and how come I can't vote here? What's going on, and why did that happen, and how come I didn't know? I mean, what is happening?
That question has been asked, and basically they're just being, like, ignored. They're saying, hey, if you got an issue, take it up as an election protest. Well, the only time you can do an election protest is after the election per our constitution. So, you know, here's the deal. I absolutely heard your previous guest about her harassment. I've been steadily harassed since the 19th in a very similar manner that she's being harassed. So I feel 100% for her. All I can tell you, and I will say to anybody who's running, the men and women who are running for positions, whether it be the union or public office, we are the men and women in the arena. And what that means is, yes, people are going to try to tear you down. Keep going no matter what. Keep going better no matter what. So I'm still running. So now there's only two people on this ballot. There's me and my opponent. And then
you mean of all the positions, there's a bunch of people that have no opponent, and there's only one real election, and that's for president for you and your opponent. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. That's wow. It.
Holy cow.
That's crazy.
So, but once again, they are scared to death. Mm-hmm. Even with their voter suppression, they are scared to death that I might win. And that's because I'm a reform president. I believe in transparency with the finances. I believe that we should have more engagement with the city. You know, I heard what you had to say about the fire department and Marty Langton. Marty Langton's power comes from having his membership standing behind him 100%.
Amen. That's exactly right.
100%. The problem with the city workers is we don't have that. And because they have lost faith. Several issues of why this is going to be such a poor turnout election. One, city workers have lost faith in their union. City workers have lost faith in the leadership of the city. That is a reason why we have a huge turnover going on right now at the city. The city can't keep workers. They're going to other jobs in the private sector. Things have to change. And one of those things that has to change is you have to have a president in there that's willing to take on the city and willing to take on the problems of the city as well for the membership. They need to see somebody out there fighting for them. They need to see a Marty Langton type of person that's going to fight for them no matter what, even if it costs them their job.
That's
and
right.
That's not what they have. That's
well, you know, and here's the thing, Dan, and you know, I'm only one candidate of candidates for mayor. Y'all need someone more than ever because tough times are coming. Mm-hmm. We're going to be struggling here. The economy is going to start slowing down. On top of that, you have all kinds of issues with the city, all kinds of investigations going on. Meanwhile, we still haven't implemented the will of the voters and the firefighters. There's going to be a cost associated with that. Meanwhile, you've got the pension fund, the one that's got the poorest governance structure, in my opinion, and is probably the most underfunded, of course, is the municipal workers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, what? It's like, is somebody paying attention? You've had the same people running that pension for like 30 years. Right. I'm not kidding, Dan, 30 years. And so I hope that you can be a catalyst to get people to ask questions. At a minimum, just ask questions. And then I think the transparency hopefully will become clear and they can then make the right decisions and the right choices. What, remind me, when is Election Day?
So Election Day is tomorrow.
Oh my goodness.
The 26th. And here are the election sites, if I may. 2805 McKinney, 801 Burris, 1700 Cross Timbers, 1002 Washington, which is the permitting center, and 2506 Sutherland, which is the AFL-CIO headquarters. If you're a city worker, that means that you got to drive to a facility to go vote. And it's going to make it hard for people in the fire department, the municipal workers in the police department, 611 Walker, city council offices, and city administration offices. It is municipal court is going to have to walk across the street because we used to have ones at municipal courts.
Well, let me ask you, Daniel. So is it just one day to vote?
Yeah. Wasn't
there used to be like you voted over like a week? Or am I mistaken?
Where it was several days. This voting is just for one day only between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.
But wasn't there a time, I'm going back, I used to know the head of the union years ago, Melvin Hughes, who in my opinion was a pretty straight guy. I always enjoyed knowing him. Wasn't it that there used to be you voted over a period of time, like several days?
Yes, sir.
When did that change and who changed that?
That's a good question. That's a wonderful question that should be asked.
I think I'm going to ask it. I want to know, and who am I to know other than I'm just a citizen, but I'm a citizen and I pay taxes and all those things. You know, why was the vote changed? When was it changed? And why did it change? Shouldn't you want more people to vote rather than less? Well, you know, shouldn't you want more people to vote rather than less?
That's the reason why this is such a sad day for labor, because here's the deal. The labor movement was built around the idea that we were going to treat our members as brothers and sisters, and that we are supposed to be the shining example of democracy. The shining example of democracy when politicians let us down at the turn of the century, when we had all this. So we were supposed to be more democratic than the politicians. And here we are that they're going by the absolute strict minimum requirement of our constitution. When there's, once again, these are the absolute minimum. That's all they're doing. They could do 100 other things. One, job site meetings. When they had their job site meetings for the past month, not once did they mention, hey, there's nominations elections. Mm-hmm. That's an easy one to do. Just let people know there's not. Two, hand out flyers. They didn't do that, saying where the nominations are or where to go to. They didn't do that. We have a website. That website has not been updated.
Come on.
They said on the 19th that they were going to put it on the website where the locations were going to be voting for on the 23rd. They did not do that today. You can go there, go to the calendar on Hope's website, and you don't see anything for the 19th or tomorrow.
And, you know, you got to ask yourself, how do they look themselves in the mirror and feel good about themselves? Right. Now, think about that for a minute. You know, oh, here we go. We did another one of these things where we retain power by making sure nobody knew anything.
That's terrible.
You can't feel good about that.
No.
And once again, how does that build up membership? How does that build up faith? How does that build up community?
It doesn't. It makes people say, you know what? The hell with that. I'm not even going to get involved. That's what it makes people do. Disengage.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
And you know what? If I think I would disengage. I think I would say, you know what? It just doesn't matter. It's never going to change. I think I would do that.
Yeah.
Shame on me for thinking that, but I think I would. Well, Daniel, let me ask you this before we go. Number one, I want to make sure you read those, the date, which is tomorrow, the time and all the locations again. That's number one. Number two is I want you to say your website where people can see more of your views and things of that nature. And number three, I want a commitment out of you that you'll call next week so you can give us the, you remember Paul Harvey where he would say this big thing and then he'd go, in a minute, the rest of the story.
Right.
And remember that? Next week, we want to hear the Daniel Box rest of the story.
Yes.
So, Daniel, go through all that. Where's the time again, all the locations again?
Wonderful. So elections are Tuesday, September 26th. They're from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at all the following locations. 2805 McKinney, which is a public works facility. 801 Burris, which is a public works facility. 1700 Cross Timbers is a public works facility. Permitting office at 1002 Washington. And then the HOPE's main office, which is in the AFL-CIO building at 2506 Sutherland, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. My suggestion is get out there and vote. If you're a member and you're listening to this, and I know they are because we have a lot of members that will listen to KOCH.
Wonderful.
Pass the word. Pass the word. Go out and vote. And if you're not a member, find somebody that's a member and bug them to go vote.
Amen. Do me a favor. What's your website again where people can hear your views? I know you've had a series of what do you call those YouTube things and all that.
The Box Report.
So Box Report. That's what I'm thinking of.
The Box Report. That's right.
The Box Report, Houston TX.
Say that one more time. The Box Report, Houston TX.
All one word. It'll take you straight to it. And then you also can get us if you're a member or if you're a city worker. You can go to the Facebook site, which is called Members Rights First. Members Rights First. It is a group of fellow members and non-members and past members of the union that get on there and give their opinions and some of the things that they believe that city workers need to know on what's going on with their local union.
Excellent. Well, Daniel Box, we appreciate you for calling in, and I can't wait for the Daniel Box report,
right,
rest of the story next week.
That's right.
I mean, this is getting really like juicy drama almost. Daniel, thank you for calling in, my friend.
Thank you. And I'll tell you what, there's so much other stuff besides the union that we can talk about. We can talk about solid waste. We can talk about public works and engineering. There's some stuff that's going on with the infrastructure of this city that the citizens of Houston don't even have a clue about. Wow. And most of the candidates don't have a clue about that they need to know.
I'm ready to use the megaphone of 5 radio stations and my running for office to help this city move forward. And we've got to clean out the incompetence. So you've got a platform, my friend.
I appreciate it. And Gilbert, keep up the good work. And let's build a city that is going to shine in the 21st century.
Amen. It's time. I'm with you.
Have a good one.
Thank you, sir. So I know we've got like 5 callers waiting. I am going to get to them. But before we do, I just want to talk. Remember, I talked about the housing department, and everyone can just go to GarciaForHouston.com as my pledge for Houston, what I do in the first 100 days. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. It's all there. Of course, mainly one, my opponents is now like starting to parrot all my things.
That's right.
Finally, I just said to him, you know, Senator, why don't you just sign my pledge? But anyways, at the end of the day, you know, I talked about the housing director said it was a culture of corruption, yes, or something to that effect.
That's right.
And then the district attorney rated it. And of course, one of my other candidates running said, well, it's not corrupt. And I want to say, I don't know if it's corrupt or not. It might be. Let's wait for the DA. Mm-hmm. And then he threw a stone at the DA that says she's like trigger happy on indictments. Well, last I heard, you got to go to a grand jury. And then you had, of course, the health department was raided by the FBI. So that's right. Not even the district attorney, but by the FBI. And then, of course, you had 2 chief aides both indicted. One of them already pled guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It doesn't sound very good to me.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the whole concept was there's something wrong with this housing department. And I just said I would audit it. Well, lo and behold, I'm reading an article from R.A. Schutz. And I don't – if I said it wrong – staff writer, I apologize. That was in the Chronicle. And everyone can see it here. If you can't see it, well, it's here in my hand. And it says here, unable to meet deadline. This is the headline. Unable to meet deadline. Houston ends $60 million affordable housing program using Harvey funds. I want to just scream.
So we lost that?
So we lost that.
Wow.
So it's kind of like, what is going on? So ready? I'm gonna read just a couple of things here, Ruby, because you got to, you know. So Houston notified the state office, meaning the Texas General Land Office, in August. So that was, you know, last month, that it would not be able to complete its single family development program by the February 25th deadline. February 25th? You mean we can't spend $60 million by February 25th? Come on, when we know we need money so desperately for affordable housing? Does that, and I'm going to read another thing here. Disaster recovery money is channeled from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, so that's HUD, through the GLO to Texas counties and municipalities. So everybody, quit blaming the, I'm a Democrat, Ruby, quit blaming the Republicans. This sounds to me like we just dropped the ball.
Yep.
So it says here from the GLO, ending the program means the city has lost control over how that money would be spent, though it has to be spent in Houston. I'm sure the GLO is thinking, doggone it, we got to spend the money here, but heck, there's nobody in charge that knows what they're doing. So 40 people are being laid off, I guess is what it says. And they were, the Housing Community Development Team had been poised to help build nearly 700 mixed income single family homes in the Willowbend, Sunnyside, and near Northside neighborhoods using Harvey recovery money. Well, the whole point is we need that development in raises more questions than it does answers. Where does all that work stand? Well, yeah, you cut the land trust money and now you're cutting staffing for these programs that are supposedly affordable. The whole thrust is, I don't know what's going on. Houstonians don't know what's going on. I bet the city council and so forth don't know what's going on. Here's another line. The 700 homes that will no longer built were located in three communities throughout Houston. And again, it goes through them all. We need a complete overhaul and audit of the housing department. I called for that back in my pledge in, when did I put that pledge out? March. Mm-hmm. And look, here's the result in August, which we just found out September 15th. Houston, we need to do better. We Houstonians deserve better. And that's why I'm running for mayor. I want to take another question here because I saw Robin Williams on that list. Robin, of course, is running for mayor. She's a write-in candidate. She's got, in my view, a lot of fire. And that's what we need. Someone to shake it up. So I'm going to bring her on, even though she's an opponent of mine. She's not, I mean, she may be an opponent, but she's certainly not my enemy because we want the same thing. Robin, are you there? Robin Williams. Robin. Robin Williams, are you there?
Mr. Gilbert Garcia.
Robin, yes. Williams, welcome to the show, A Tip from Gilbert, Talk Inspiration and Prayer. You are on KWWJ on both affiliates, KYOK, KCOH, Aliento Radio, and San Geet. I just talked about two things. One, a candidate for District C was essentially, I don't know, accosted almost. I don't know. I got to look at that word to see exactly what that means. But when someone grabs you and turns you around and screams at you that you're homophobic and so forth, that's not a good feeling. That's what happened to a candidate for District C. I mean, yeah, for Council District C at large. And then I talked about us losing this $60 million housing program. You know, let me ask you this, Robin, because you always talk about these issues. What is going on in your mind?
To be honest, what's going on in my mind is that your politicians with 30 to 50 years of experience continue to take from the city of Houston and the state of Texas, and it's drying it out. So we have literally no resources to help fight for everyday people like you and myself.
Amen to that. Robin, do me a favor. Give people the 1 minute about you, because I know you're a veteran and you're very proud of that, and you're always talking up on veteran issues. And you've been in a lot of forums, and you always talk about the city listening to the people. I mean, you're like the people's champion. Give people your 1 minute. And by the way, if you have a website, put it out there, will you?
Absolutely. So my name is Robin Williams, and I am currently running to become your next mayor. My background is, like Mr. Gilbert Garcia stated, I served in the United States Marine Corps 2011 during a time of war. After that, I went on to serve the American Red Cross as a manager for International Social Services, reconnecting refugees displaced by war and I will go on to become a detention officer and put on a blue uniform and know what lurks in a dark corner of Houston. And I want to bring change to the city, like so many great people like Gilbert. His whole platform is change. And, you know, where is the money? Where are our funds? How do we help people? We know the GLO just took this millions of dollars because people were sitting on it, the city of Houston, and people still have blue tops on their roofs. And out of this, how do we fight for Houston and take away the popularity contest of only two main candidates being the forerunners? And I don't think that is the voice for 6.5 million people in both Houston and Harris County.
Amen to that. Let me ask you this. So you are a write-in candidate. Explain to the citizens what that means. So if somebody wants to vote for you, what does that mean? You know, is there like a blank that says, write someone's name here if you want to, and you just take a pen and you write it? Or what does that mean?
So it's so easy and so cool. What you do is you literally go to the polling place. You're going to have a list of candidates, and it's going to say click write in. You literally just click it and type it. It's like texting my name. So you just type, you can use Robin. You can use my last name, Williams, or you can use Robin Williams, my full name, and you've cast your vote. So it's not as hard as people assume that it would be. You're literally just like you click, you're literally just typing my name, my first or my last name, or you can type Robin Williams. And if you have a mail-in ballot, you simply take a pen or a pencil and you just write Robin Williams.
Now you talk about, you know, the top two. You know, it's been frustrating for me a little bit that I think the media is trying to make us think that, well, it's a two-person race. Yeah. And then you got these guys that, you know, the talking heads, and one of them's from Rice. And you know, and I called him, Mark Jones, I think his name. I called him to say, wait a minute, you know, it's not a two-person race. And, you know, the more they say that, the more people just kind of think it. Mm-hmm. And it's doing a disservice in the community, in my view. Robin, what are your thoughts about that? The media and all the sort of professionals out there.
Mr. Donald Trump said it best, fake news, fake news, fake news. I didn't know what President Donald Trump was talking about when he said fake news, fake news. I just heard it everywhere. And so I believe the media is miscarrying the democracy system by allowing and perpetuating this false narrative that only two top candidates. No, they're the two more seasoned or senior candidates, but they're definitely not the top. And we all shouldn't be pushed aside before votes have been cast. They're already set a date for a runoff, and no one has voted. And that's the concern. It goes back to, are they going to steal the election? Harris County has a history of ballot fraud and ballot fraud. So we don't know what's going on. And I don't like that for any candidate that has spent their hard-earned money getting out there shaking hands and kissing babies and telling people they matter, when the media is steady perpetuating a survey that was allegedly conducted by 2,000 students at U of H, and saying, hey, these are the two top candidates. But what they never air on the news is that 44% said that they would not vote for neither candidate, and that 50% was undecided. So it's not a two-man debate. And I think all candidates should be able to attend the debates. It's 17 of us. Allow all of us to debate. Allow people to pick their favorite person, and allow democracy to ring heavily in Houston.
I support expanding the participants in these things. And you know I do, because I speak out all the time about it. Yeah. And it's very interesting, because sometimes there's only five, and those five always kind of change. Sometimes it includes MJ Khan, sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it has Jack Christie, sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't seem to have any real like pattern to it. But at the end of the day, I agree, it's not a two-person race. I agree, there are a lot of good ideas out there with other candidates that should be heard. They deserve to be heard. And all the information should be debated out in the open. The other thing I don't like, Robin, is a lot of these yes or no questions are very hard to answer, because you don't want to say yes, but, or no, but it's not clear what they mean in the question. And so they're kind of making you say yes or no. I really think we need more time to some of the answers to really talk about our opinions and our views. I also think that we all know the senator's moving some ungodly amount of money. I don't know, 9 million, 10 million, 11 million from his Senate war chest into this mayor's race. And that just shouldn't be allowed because the ordinance doesn't allow that. So right. It's kind of like, wait a minute, how fair is that? You should raise the money in this cycle, or you should give the money, because what if someone gave money to him 50 years ago or whenever it was when he first started, you know, office? And what if some of those supporters were, you know, Robin supporters or my supporters? Mm-hmm. And they're like, wait a minute, I don't want my money to be used there. I want it to be used here. So at the end of the day, we just need to, in my view, have a lot more transparency about everything. Robin, what say you?
I definitely agree. It shouldn't happen. Not only that, it's been questioned about deceased Houstonians being on as donors, and they've gotten away with it. Like, how do we address it? Why is in this public? And like you said, a war chest. When I think of a war chest, I think of being in the military, and war chest is used to conquer something. And we don't want to conquer the Houstonians. We want to build a better platform for them. I think that is unfair. It gives an unfair advantage. And I don't think the race should have anything to do with money. Why are we talking about $10 million to $11 million when the average Houstonian cannot afford to put food on their table? And sometimes they have to choose between gas or food. I know this because I pay for people's groceries when they're stolen out of Walmart so that they don't get a criminal background. So I just believe take money out of the equation, because the average Houstonian is not a millionaire, and the average Houstonian does not want to hear how much money you raise, but what are you going to do for us?
Robin, you know what? That is a great point. Mm-hmm. On that note, I'm going to give you 1 minute to say whatever you want to say before I sign off. And I know we've got three callers on. I may not get to you. I know I wanted to talk a lot about Metro, and of course, people talking about Metro, and of course they don't say the facts. They just want to take the money away. It's ridiculous. And of course, you know, they want to put a person who's anti-Metro to run Metro. When we saw how that worked out, as a quarter of Metro's revenue stream was permanently taken away. Yeah. And then people wonder, how come we don't have transit to the airport? Well, that's why. So Robin, I want to give you kind of a last word there, madam.
Absolutely. Houston, if you can hear me, please get out and look for yourself at the other candidates. We have some very passionate candidates like Mr. Gilbert Garcia himself. He's big on Metro. I've never seen someone speak with so much passion. And I come from a city where transit is the number one mode of transportation. I want you to get out there and examine, and don't allow the news to perpetuate that this is a two-man race. It is not. A lot of us are not enemies. We are close friends at these debates and lean on each other. And I love the way Gilbert Garcia stands up for all candidates, no matter what, because I believe he's a people's person. I'm a people's person. And it lets you know how much we care about each other, because we're supposed to be opponents, but we're here talking about issues together. So let that resonate in your heart that we really do care for you.
Robin, thank you so much for calling in. And please call in again, will you?
Absolutely. Enjoy your day.
Thank you, madam. You know, going back, what a contrast. Here we are. We're running against each other. And, right. And you know, she's wonderful. And she works hard. She cares. Versus the super neighborhood person accosting someone just because of their like one issue.
Right.
Like, we can't get together and just get along and be regular citizens of hope and change in this city. My goodness. Well, you know what, Houston? I think I've already worn out my hour. I can't believe it, Ruby. Like, what? Well, we're going to cover Metro. We're going to get the box report back. And hopefully we're going to hear more about, and I invited Kevin on my radio show. Yes, so hopefully he can talk about it. I want to give him what's the right word, equal time or fair time, because that's what we do on this show. And I want to talk a lot more about Metro, and the person that talks all about Metro and, you know, all these things that are so one-sided, slanted, and almost borderline just not true. And so we're going to go through all of that next week. We got more to say, But let's go ahead and go to our station break, our commercials, as we are now at the end of the hour. And we will see you next time, Houston. There's a lot more. Register to vote. You still have time. An early vote is coming. Thank you.
This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at GarciaForHouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Send Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.